great to be in the house of the Lord. I'm telling you what, Lord, thank you for your presence. But you know, part of my message this morning is, his presence is not just for here in this building. It is for other places. So I'm going to have a hard time. I'm going to try to stick to my notes this morning, but worship is such a part of my heart that I'm going to try to stick close to this. I've really been inspired for worship this morning. And so let's pray before we start. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you. Those words just seem not good enough, Father. But Father, we come before you with a heart full of gratitude for who you are in our lives, for your hand of faithfulness and goodness toward us. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price so that we could stand before the Father. We love you, Lord. We dedicate this day to you. And I pray, God, that as we study your word this morning, ingrain it deep within our spirits and our hearts, God. May it change us and let us never be the same ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to talk this morning, and actually we're going to talk for a couple of weeks on a revelation of worship and really what worship is. And if you'll notice in your bulletin, you'll start seeing for the next few weeks, maybe months, a little blurb on worship and different things about why we do things we do in our services. And that's because we're going to have more and more people that come into our services that maybe have never been to a Spirit-filled church. Now, let me just tell you, when we say Spirit-filled, it does not mean that things have to go, how can I say this? My mama always used to call it holy rollers. There is decency and order. You know, if you look through the Bible, the Word of God really reveals such a pattern of decency and order. Now, I'm not saying that people may not, I don't know, it's not me. It's not my thing that I would fall out. Now, you know, watch me say that, and then next week God will say, let me just humble you a little bit. He may do that, because you never say never with God. But we want to do things so that the Spirit of the Lord is always honored. And if it becomes too out of order, it becomes a distraction where there's a tension called to, you know, whatever it is, rather than the Spirit of God and what he's doing. So that's just a side note. That's just a little pastoring thing. But I always want the Holy Spirit to have the freedom to minister. And sometimes that means you're going to hear praying in tongues. And sometimes it's a word in tongues that needs an interpretation. And sometimes it's just praying in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, you heard that this morning, and you're going to hear that more. Because when we pray in the Spirit, what are we doing? We are praying the perfect will of the Father. Because I do not, in my humanness, know how to pray. I need that Holy Spirit. I need to be a Spirit-filled person because I need that Holy Spirit to guide my life. I can't do it anymore. I sure can't go backwards. I would not want to go backwards. So when you hear that praying in tongues, that is because we are asking God, have your way. So in the services and also in our bulletin, you're going to start seeing little pieces that explain why we do things. So just be sure and pay attention to that. You know, I'm so thankful to the Lord for us being responsive to him. I'm thankful to you in being responsive when we open up worship in the mornings. Last Sunday and this Sunday, it was a rich, rich time. But I had to reflect. You know, Pastor Patrick talked last week about sitting at the feet of Jesus. We had a worship discussion a couple of weeks ago in our staff meeting, and we were talking about, okay, so what is it that ignites people to worship? And we talked about things, well, is it because they know the songs? Is it because there's that song rings a chord? Is it because we have a stage full of musicians? Is it this or is it that? Is it a style? Is it an atmosphere? Let me tell you something. It's not any of that. We will never actually understand worship until you have an encounter with Him and you are moved to worship. Now, sometimes it's a choice and it's a discipline. You know, I've talked to several people, and I know when we had little kids, it was hard getting to church. And by the time you got to church, you're so worn out, it was like, oh my goodness. You sat there and the kids were arguing. We had three kids, and the two boys were only 2 years apart when they were little. They're grown now, but they used to argue, and it's like trying to get them all dressed, and the little baby can't find their shoes, and then they find one shoe and their different shoe. I mean, it was just a mess. And by the time you actually get in the car and you try to get there, you're all flustered. And you're not much. And so sometimes we sit down in the chair and it's a choice to worship. In other words, I'm going to choose to tune all of that out and I'm going to worship. It doesn't matter what the style is. You know, some people, oh, the room is too cold, the music's too loud, I want a drummer, I don't want a drummer, I want a guitarist, I don't want a guitarist. You know, I don't like the way that person leads, I don't like that style of music, I don't like... None of that matters. What matters is, have you had an encounter with God? Have you entered that place where God has so affected you that you can't stand it? I can't wait to tell y'all some of the other things. There, John and I sat there. We were watching TV on a Saturday afternoon. I said, John, do you realize that God provided this right in the perfect timing of this? And I said, we didn't even ask. And I can't tell you all these things, but as the days go on, we're going to be able to tell you some things that God has done that's been even more amazing than what we've told you already. Now, we're getting a new roof this week. Now, let me tell you, you look at this building, it's a big building. It's a lot of money to get a new roof. And then carpet's on the way after that. Now, I don't know about you, but there are a few stains on this carpet. And Pastor Patrick's tried to clean it, and there are ripples. And anyway, this carpet needs to be changed. We are moving forward, and it's only by God's hand. What's more important is that God is giving words to people, that God is moving in people's lives, that God is bringing people in. God is moving in our, you know, I picked the youth up from the lock-in, and they may not think it's any big deal, but I had a blast sitting there at McDonald's having breakfast and listening to them talk about how they prayed at home. I said, God, not every youth prays at home. We have wonderful families. And then last week after the service, I go upstairs and one of the youth says, you know, we kind of want to be like junior pastors. I said, what do you mean? We want to go out into the community. I said, Lord, have mercy. Oh my goodness. God, what you're doing and speaking in our youth. See, we can't, look, we're at an age where if there's not somebody coming up behind us, church dies out. It's our youth. And our youth can speak to other youth the way we can't. When Pastor Patrick talks about this community and making a difference and speaking to the youth, our youth can talk to the youth like they're not going to want it. They don't want to hear me. They do not want to hear me. They want to see a youth that has been changed by God that they can relate to. That's why when David does this concert, that is huge. I may not be able to hip-hop dance. I may not be able to hip-hop sing. But guess what? If that's what pulls in kids, I'm going to invest every bit of my energy, time, and money, what I can, to doing that. And that's not even my message today. I'm sorry. Let me get back over here to worship. I'm so absolutely thankful to what God is doing. Do not look at what you see. Ask God to show you what's happening in the heavenly realm. We will, by God's power, make a difference in this community. All right, let me get back. So we talked about all this, and so we talked about what is worship. Now, I got to tell you kind of the season. Let me give you the picture of the season that I've been in and that Life Church has been in. You know, sometimes we have to remodel before we can have the new. We live in a house that's 30 years old. I am itching. John said, do you really need to do that? I said, yes, I want to. I said, we're sitting in somebody's home Friday night having dinner with them, having wonderful spiritual discussions, and they excuse themselves for just a minute. And I'm looking at their cabinets. I said, you know, I could paint our cabinets. And he said, do you really need to? I said, I want to paint my cabinets. But do you know what has to happen? It's going to be a mess. So before it can look beautiful and be finished, I have to tear it all up. There's some ugly wallpaper in our house. My mama, I love my mama to pieces, but when she and my dad bought that house in 1986, that wallpaper was real fashionable. It's not so much now. Now, if you've ever taken down wallpaper, oh, it's a mess. But I look at a magazine in HGTV and I said, you know, I can do that, but it's going to be a mess. What? Oh, that's scary. Because then that stuff starts peeling. John and Sue know Redeemer's Way when we were in that little church building. We tore that building apart. And you know what? That owner loved us because we were renting that place. There was green and blue plaid wallpaper in the foyer. Now think about that. It was ugly. When we left that building, it looked pretty doggone good. Now, I want you to think about this. Isn't this the way we are? God sometimes has to tear us down to build us up. He has to take out the ugly, because you know what? I'm just flesh. There's a lot of ugly in me. There's a lot of ugly in you, too. So y'all just can, you know. There's ugly in us. And God has to tear us down to build us back up. And he's preparing us to minister wherever you are. We're not saying that you have to be an evangelist. Some of you may, and some of you may not. But he has to tear us down. And I feel like I've been in that construction phase, and we're tearing down. And you know what it's all come down to? It's come down to God. You know what? I know I have to be pruned. We talked about this morning. I have no green thumb. No green thumb. However, we have some little knockout rose bushes. And the guy that helps us with our yard trimmed them back. And I said, oh, he has the only two bushes that I have that look really good. He has cut them down to nothing. They look like dried sticks. And it's okay, right, Miss Elaine? Because guess what they look like now? All winter, they looked ugly, like sticks. And those sticks lay naked in the hedges. They lay naked in the flower box, whatever that is. And then all of a sudden in the spring with the rains and the sun, what happens? There's all this growth and the leaves are coming out. Those things look great. They look great. But sometimes we have to go through that, and we don't want to. We don't want to stand in church and be naked. We don't want to stand before God and be naked. I don't want to admit to God that I have pride. I don't want to admit to God that I have selfishness. But yet when we're honest and God can tear those things away, he can work in us and replace it with kindness and dependence and trust and faith in him. So I don't know why I'm getting way off my subject, but it's about worship. He has to tear us down to build us up. I want to look at John 4. John 4, verse 23 and 24. And we're going to talk about this. Let's look at it. I'm going to actually back up to John 4, verse 21. And this is when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. Now, did the woman at the well have some issues? She had some ugliness, just like we do, that she had to have dealt with. Now, here's your hint as we're reading this. When you have an encounter with God, transformation always happens, always. Now, it could be a change for the good. It could be a change for the bad. So let's talk about that, and you're probably going, what? But let's talk about that for a second. So the woman at the well, it was obviously a wonderful transformation. The Pharisees, though, when they encountered Christ, it was not always a good experience, was it? Sometimes I wonder if when the Pharisees encountered Christ, they didn't dig their heels in deeper because he challenged those structures and those systems. But whenever you encounter God, there's going to be some kind of a challenge. There will be a challenge. So let's look at the woman in the well, at the well. So it says, now remember, Jesus was going into Samaria. That was not a very good, a popular place for the Jews to go, was it? No, they didn't want to go there, but Jesus said, I have to go there. Why did he have to go there? For the salvation of the Samaritans. So he knew, I know he knew in his mind that he had to meet that woman. And that woman, after her experience, what did she do? She went out and told others. So therefore, it wasn't just the woman that Christ was meeting. It was really Samaria, because her testimony was going to affect other people also. But let's look at it. It says, woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. So now, the first thing I'm looking at this is, okay, in the Spirit is capitalized. And so that's telling me we need to worship with the Holy Spirit. And who is the truth? Jesus said he is the truth. So we're, you know, I am never able, I don't believe ever able to worship God in and of myself. I think the only way I can worship God is when I have Christ living in me and the Holy Spirit. And out of that comes that encounter with God, and I'm worshiping in spirit and truth. But worship is about Him. It's not about us. And it's not, look, worship is not a Sunday morning. You know, what we do when we sing and we praise, that's wonderful. That's part of worship. That's a small part of worship. To me, when you're giving to other people, Patrick going to this person, this member of our church and checking on her, that was worship. You know, I think about Tina, when she's doing hair, I know that God sends certain people to sit in her chair. And God probably orchestrates conversations, little things. Do you realize when you're getting your hair done, that's such a ministry? I'm sorry, guys, I don't know if it's a ministry for you. It's a ministry for me. I go to a Christian lady, and she cut my hair this week, and my hair was bad. It was out of shape. And I couldn't do a thing with it. And I sat down and she starts talking. And she's talking to me about the word and what's going on at her church. And I'm telling her about our church. And she's just talking to me. And she said, you're starting to smile. That's a ministry. So when we say we're sent to minister, that's ministry. I know that God sends certain people to her chair for her to minister to. So what we're doing is ministry. The way you surrender your life is ministry. When you're taking care of your husband or your children, that's ministry. When you're praying over your kids and your grandkids before they go to school, or you've got that list and you're going through in your mind and you're praying for those grandkids, that's ministry. That's worship. When I'm, you know, taking John's clothes out of the dryer because I sure don't iron. Sorry. I've got an iron and an ironing board. I run to that dryer, and I hang up his T-shirts. I hang up all his clothes and make sure his clothes, mine kind of go thrown in the basket, but I make sure his are hung up and they go right in his closet so he doesn't run out of clothes. That is worship to God, that I am honoring my husband. That's worship. All right. So worship. We're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to turn to Isaiah 6. And that's really where I want to stop for a minute, because Isaiah was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And he's going to be our example this morning. Isaiah 6. And we're going to start in verse 1. Isaiah's commission. If you have a Bible that has little headings, this is Isaiah's commission here. But before he's commissioned, there's worship. Let's look at this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another. This is what I pictured this morning as we're worshiping the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. In the next verse, I got to camp out just a little bit. It says, at the sound of their voices, the doorpost and thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. Now, it didn't say God's voice caused that. It said their voices. What were their voices doing? Praising, worshiping. And I have no idea what this means, but for some reason, I keep getting this picture of us praising and worshiping, and maybe it's what's going on in the heavenlies. I get this picture of praising and worshiping, and the very foundation of this building and this community shakes and rumbles. And when I see that and I hear that, and I've had that picture grip me two or three times, and you know what I pray? Every time I pray and I see it and I hear it, I said, God, shake the foundations so that those things that Satan is trying to claim as his territory, shake them so they become God's territory. So when we're praising and worshiping, you know, Satan cannot stay where there's prayer and worship and praise of God, can he? Can he stay in that place? So, you know, I want to fill not just this building, but this community with praise and worship so that Satan cannot stay here. I don't want one of those kids to be lost. I don't want them to be lost. I don't want the single mothers and the grandmothers that are raising kids. I don't want them to struggle. So we need to fill this community with worship and praise and drive Satan out. Enough is enough. So I get that picture. So you need to pray, pray, pray. And then Isaiah says, now think about Isaiah is experiencing this worship. He's seeing it. And what does he do? Well, anytime you get in God's presence, what do we realize? How ugly we are. How unworthy. And our human flesh, how just absolutely disgusting, really, our hearts can be. And so Isaiah says, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Now we know that Israel, you know, the people of Israel, they were making some bad choices. God's people were making some bad choices. They weren't always living the way they need to be living. And so Isaiah knew that he lived among a people that were not always honoring to God. Do we live in a time period, in a community, when it's not always honoring to God? We do. And so I want to realize, and when it says unclean lips, I don't believe that it's just the words. Out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we're talking about people that their hearts are not right, and it overflows into their words. So I believe, anytime we don't have something dealt with in us, it's a heart issue. If I have pride, it's a heart issue. And that's going to somewhere, it's going to come out of my mouth somewhere. And so I believe that's what Isaiah is talking about. He realizes, he said, oh, Lord, I've got a heart issue. And I live among people that have a heart issue. We need to be dealt with. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Because, of course, this is before Christ. So there's no sacrifice at the altar yet. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And what does Isaiah say? Say it together, that next. And I said, okay, y'all don't seem like you mean it. Do you mean it? Isaiah is saying, what? Here am I, Lord, send me. And I'm going to just tell you, be careful when you say that. Because we went to camp one year. And I went as an adult camper and went to the adult sessions. And you know, you get yourself, I'm saying, in trouble. It was a good thing. But I went down to the altar. And at that point, I had no ministry. I really felt like I had no purpose. I said, God, I'm doing the best I can. I'm raising my kids. I'm being honoring. But I feel like there's something else you want me to do. And I heard this verse. And so we all sang and we left our chairs and we all gathered around the altar in this building and we're singing this song and I kneeled down and I prayed, God, here I am, send me. And what does God do? Yes, I've got a purpose for you. I will send you. And from that day on, my life was changed. And I thank God for it because I have experienced fulfillment and purpose and vision and relationship and His provision and His favor like I never had before. And God said, if you'll just live out the purpose I have for you, I will bless your life like you cannot even dream or imagine. That's worship. So let me get back to my outline here. Isaiah recognizes his humanness. The seraphim come with the coal and atone for his humanness, and then he's commissioned, okay? Kind of get that process here, because in Romans 12, 1 and 2, we're supposed to present ourselves a living sacrifice. I'm just going to turn there. You don't have to. I'll read it to you. But Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, God has poured mercy on my life, grace on my children who love God so much. So think about this. In view of God's mercy, if I remember what God has done for me, I am going to want and desire to offer my body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and pleasing worship. As a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. So if I recognize what God has done, the desire of my heart is going to be to turn around and to be a sacrifice to this world in worship. What do sacrifices do? In the Old Testament, when they brought a sacrifice to the altar, what did it have to do? What did it have to do? It had to kill it. It had to die. That means I have to die to what my own desires, my own goals, my own dreams, whatever, I have to die if I'm going to be that sacrifice to God. And He's telling me, present myself a living sacrifice. So I have to die. The wonderful thing about that is when I decide to die to my pride, to my selfishness, to all of that stuff, God fills me with this wonderful, wonderful provision of His will becoming what I desire. Because when I die to myself, His desires become my desires. All right. So let's keep going here. I know it sounds contradictory, but when I give up all of those things, He transforms me. Again, we're talking about worship. So we're talking about when you're in the presence, when you're living with God and encountering Him through worship, His desires become my desires. And that's how we worship Him in spirit and truth. And I wrote on here, worship is not about style, atmosphere, smoke and lights. Have you ever been to, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with a church that has, you know, smoke and lights and that's their style. That may be what's needed for some people to somehow relate to God. However, it should not be necessary for us to enter God's presence to have all that. You know, some people only worship when they feel the goosebumps. Oh, have you ever heard people say, I didn't feel the Spirit in that song? Or they leave church, I didn't feel it this morning. You know, if I go based on my feelings, I sure am in trouble. Because I'm human and my feelings will mess me up. This week, I was quite frustrated and in a bad mood. I would listen to Christian radio, and just to tell you honestly, you got to be careful what you listen to. I told John this morning, I said I was listening to Christian radio. Some of those Christian songs just encourage you to stay miserable. Now, I'm not trying to berate anybody, but, you know, I love the song Break Every Chain. Love it. Break the chains and move on. There's a point where you go to the altar, you can't stay at the altar. God didn't make us to stay at the altar. You go to that altar, you break every chain, and go out. There's a reason why God wants to break those things off of us. He wants us to live a life that glorifies Him. If we're staying at the altar, break every chain, break every chain. You know, at some point, there's take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. Y'all just don't. I told you I played that in my office. I want the shackles off my feet so I can dance and praise. Nobody wants to be a Christian if it's break every chain. Nobody wants that. Yes, that is necessary and a place. There's a place for that. But there's a point where we go on. We go on. Okay, sorry. I am so off my notes. Are we babes on milk? Are we adults on meat? That's the question. Are we babes on milk? Are we adults on meat? That's what we have to do. We have to realize that I should not depend on Tracy to come and go, ooh, I like that song. That gets me started. No, I should come and Tracy should hit that first chord and I'm just, yes, Lord, I worship you immediately. Y'all have been doing that the last couple of weeks, so I'm thankful. So no matter what the circumstances, we're able to worship. We have an urgency to get in His presence, whether it's here or whether it's at home, whether it's in your car, wherever it is, we have an urgency to listen. And like I said, the scheme of Satan is going to be to keep you out of His presence. You're going to oversleep. You're going to be too tired. You're not going to feel good about yourself, so you don't want God to see you. He sees you anyway. He already knows the desires and the condition of your heart. So we don't want to go into His presence. So that's Satan's scheme. This is what I want you to get. Because I never want to be that church where you expect to come to the altar, you get prayed for, and you get up, and everything is absolutely wonderful. You know what? You do come to the altar. You do get prayed for. And there are times when God does move instantly, miraculously, and I know that happens. It doesn't happen all the time. And so what happens is if we depend on God to act like that, then we don't learn transformation. So I'm going to read you the way I wrote it in my notes. I said, get this, transformation is not changing your circumstances, okay? It is changing you so that you have God's wisdom to deal with your circumstances. That's transformation in you. So get up from the altars. Your issues may still be the same. You know, you may still, if we pray for you to get a new job, you may still, when you get up from that altar, not have a job. However, when you get up from that altar, maybe now that we've prayed for you to have the wisdom to know which door to follow, which door to go through, where to apply, which phone call to respond to that provides your new job. So you get up from the altar to have the wisdom of God to deal with your circumstances. That's transformation. You also have a new attitude. You know, I told myself this week, I said, God, I've got to be in your presence because I've got a stinky attitude. I'm frustrated and I'm tired and I'm weary and my attitude stinks. But at some point, I had to get in his presence, read his word, and say, God, I need your wisdom. And you know what God started doing? Janice, why are you frustrated? And he starts reminding me of the promises in his word. He starts reminding me of the successes. But I had to get into his presence for him to renew my mind. Okay? So God does move miraculously, but he also wants us to learn how to change our character, to change and to depend on him. Isaiah was a wonderful example of that. So let me give you four things here I want to finish with about worship. Worship is an encounter. Worship is an encounter with God, and transformation always happens. Always happens. The woman at the well, her life was transformed. Number two, true worship reveals the condition of our heart. True worship, when we get in the presence of God, we realize how much we need him. It reveals the condition of our heart. Just like Isaiah realizing he had filthy lips. Isaiah did not even have to ask to be cleansed. What did the seraphim immediately do when he realized who he was? The seraphim immediately took the coal to him. Do you know, I think God knows how weak we are. And when he realizes that we've humbled ourselves, we realize our frailty as humans, he rushes in. He rushes in to transform us, to heal us, to change us. He rushes in. We don't even have to ask. But we have to be honest. And we have to humble ourselves. So the third thing about worship, the first step to transformation is being honest and humble before God. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord. You know, I have to cry out to God and say, God, you know, I know this is what you want me to be. I don't know how to get there. In and of myself, I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to be the person that's always encouraging. I don't know how... You know what? I don't know all the answers for Life Church. I don't know all the answers for here. All I know is that I have to be obedient and follow him. So I have to cry out to him, God, show me the way. Show me the way. Don't leave his presence the same week after week, day after day. Transformation will happen, but we have to cry out to him, Lord, teach me, show me. And the fourth thing is, worship calls us to ministry. And it may be different for every person. It may be evangelism. It may be doing hair. It may be financial. You may have a great job and you're called to just give. That'd be wonderful. We'll appreciate that, won't we? So whatever it is, God called and Isaiah responded. But that was through that worship. Remember the process. Isaiah realized who he was, he humbled himself, he prayed, and then he was called into ministry. So God says, who will go for me? Whom will I send? You know, and I think about John and his job. His job is pretty boring to him. And he'll say, you know, it's boring. We have teachers in our church. Tia is a teacher. I know that God sent Tia to where she is in teaching. I know because John comes home with stories about all these different people he's talked to. He's planting seeds, slowly planting seeds. God sent him, even though it's boring, sweetheart, I'm sorry, sent him to speak words of encouragement to those people. So you are sent wherever you are. Elaine is sent to her grandchildren. She's there for them and she can encourage them. I bet you she prays for Luis and Christy and for her grandkids. She's nodding. All right. So she's doing that. She's sent to pray for those families. That's her ministry. So God's asking you, whom will I send? And then I'm going to save the rest for next week. I want to go into 1 Corinthians 12, which is a beautiful picture. So you can read that ahead of time. 1 Corinthians 12 is a beautiful picture of the body of Christ working together in ministry. So study that. And I want to ask you just this week to pray over some things. One thing I want you to pray over is pray that our people would not be distracted, but also pray for the healing of our people at Life Church. We have some people that are going through some hard, tough stuff. Pray for healing. Pray for those people and intercede. And pray that God would teach you how to encounter his presence. There's a whole difference between praise and worship. And a lot of times we do that praising, and that's wonderful, but we need to enter the courts of our God and worship. So pray for true encounters with God, that you would be changed and transformed. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, God, that you are such a faithful God, that you speak to us, you transform our hearts, that, God, you never give up on us, even when we have the ugly in us, Lord. You, if we will humble ourselves, you mold us and make us into people that can carry your gospel through whatever situations you've put us in, our jobs and our families. Lord, here we are. Send us, God, to carry your message of life through Christ. We thank you for that honor and privilege, and we thank you for this service this morning. We thank you for the wonderful family of Life Church that you have brought together, God. What a wonderful, blessed family to be a part of. We thank you, Lord. And we ask all of these things. May this people walk in favor this week, Lord, and blessing and true intimate relationship with you. God, I pray you sensitize their ears and their eyes to hear your voice, to see you moving this week like never before, God. Teach us and transform us. Inspire us to worship, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.